You'll turn back to God's Word, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're continuing in our series looking at the eldership. And as we look forward to electing more men to serve as elders within our congregation, I should say that we are looking for four men. So as you pray for us as session, as you pray for God's leading and guiding within the congregation, you can have in mind that we would like up to four further men to serve with us as elders. We plan to have this election on the 20th of January after morning worship. So that's a date that you can put into your diary. That's a date that you can focus on and be praying towards, the 20th of January, when we plan to elect four further elders into the office. Last Lord's Day, we looked at the first few words of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, and we've taken that title, aspiring to the office, as the theme of these sermons. But it was also the heading of our sermon last week, aspiring to the office. And we noted that this office of overseer or elder, it's an office under Jesus Christ. The church doesn't belong to the elders. It doesn't belong to any one man. But elders serve under Jesus Christ. They are under shepherds of his flock. Christ is king and head of the church. But Christ has also given this office biblical authority. It's an office that carries the authority of the king himself, as these men serve faithfully, carrying out the duties to which Christ has called them. And it's an office chosen from among the membership of the congregation. These are not men forced on us. These are men chosen by the congregation for the congregation. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer. And that's what we are looking for. We are looking for men who aspire to this office. That is, men who have a heart for the office. Men who are already functioning as those who serve Christ, as those who love Christ's people. We're looking for men who gravitate towards the functions of this office. Well, this morning we're moving on a little bit in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're not moving too much further because we're just taking the next phrase. He desires a noble task. Desiring a noble task. But we need to ask ourselves, as we've thought about this is an office under Christ, well, what is it that these men do? What are the functions of the office? What are the duties of the elder? What's their task? We read earlier from Acts chapter 20, and in verse 28 to 32, Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus, and he calls on them to shepherd the flock. And now in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul is saying this task of shepherding is a noble task, or it's a beautiful task. What the elders do is something that is worthy of praise to the chief shepherd. It's a good thing. It's a pleasant thing. And the task or the duties of the elder, they are praiseworthy because it is the task of shepherding. It's serving as Christ served. The under-shepherd following the example of the chief shepherd. And so this morning, as we look at the duties or the functions of the elder, we are thinking about desiring a noble task. As we think about shepherding the flock entrusted, we think about desiring a noble task. I have three words for us to keep in mind this morning as we think about the task of elders, our desiring a noble task. The first word is the word pattern. Pattern. Elders are to be a pattern of Jesus Christ. That is, the elder is to follow the pattern that Jesus Christ has set. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ has set the example. In John chapter 10, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the one who cares for his sheep. He's the one who's laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus feeds. He protects. He is the good shepherd. And we're told that God has given shepherds and teachers to the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes to the church there that God has given shepherds and teachers. Some translations use the word pastors and teachers. The word pastor comes from the Latin for the word shepherd. All elders are pastors. We normally use this word to describe the function of the elder who labors in teaching and preaching. We sometimes call him the minister. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, in scriptural terms, all elders are ministers and pastors. Not just the elder who labors in preaching and teaching. All elders are shepherds under Jesus Christ. And therefore, all elders follow the pattern that Jesus Christ has set in caring for the sheep, in feeding the sheep, in protecting the sheep. There is a beauty, a praiseworthiness in this task. That's what Paul's saying in 1 Timothy 3. That word noble, it's a word that means more than good. It's a word that describes a beauty or a praiseworthiness. This task of pastoring, of ministering, of being an overseer, of being an elder, it's a praiseworthy task because we are following the pattern set by Jesus Christ. But not only do elders follow the pattern set by Christ, they are also to set the pattern of Christ-likeness before the flock. As they follow the pattern of Jesus, they are then setting the example of the pattern before the sheep, the congregation. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter calls himself a fellow elder. This is the apostle Peter. Peter could have, in 1 Peter 5, when he's challenging the people, he could have said, "I, Peter, an apostle. Oh, you have to listen to me. I'm an apostle." But Peter doesn't do that. Peter says, "I, Peter, an elder. I'm saying to you, fellow elders." And he then calls on his fellow elders in 1 Peter 5 to shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, being examples, so that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Peter says, as an elder and fellow elders, let us set the example of Christ-likeness. Let us be a pattern to the sheep. This is our task as we care for the flock. We are to be examples of Christ-likeness. Spent a couple of years living and working in Cyprus. And if you drive up the mountains in Cyprus, you find flocks of sheep and goats all mixed up. And sometimes the herds would be relatively small. But on all occasions, when you saw the shepherd moving these herds, he always went in front of them. The shepherd walked in front of the sheep and they followed. When he rested, they rested. And he would then get up again. He would make some sort of call with his mouth. He would shout out to them. They would all herd themselves together and follow behind him. And that's the pattern in the Middle East. That's how shepherding is done. That's the picture that the Bible is using in the task of the elders. You are to lead, set the pattern that the sheep might follow, and setting the pattern and the direction that they're to go in. Go before the sheep. Elders, in their task, are to lead by example. They are to set the pattern of Christ-likeness before the congregation. That means that they are to set the example in church life, at the prayer meeting, the Bible study, fellowship meetings. They're to set the example in home life, in family worship. Set the pattern of Christ-likeness before the congregation, so that the congregation can follow the pattern that you set. And as we seek to choose elders from among the members, we should be asking ourselves, does this man set the pattern of Christ-likeness? Is this man someone that I would be willing to follow? Paul was able to say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Elders should be able to say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Elders are pastors. They are shepherds who lead the sheep by setting the pattern of Jesus Christ before the sheep. This is a noble task. This is a praiseworthy task. The pattern. Set the pattern of Christ-likeness. The second word that we think of as we consider the duties or the task of elders is the word protection. Protection. Elders are to protect the congregation. The shepherd also protects the sheep. He's oversight over the sheep. The shepherd keeps watch over the sheep. I referred to this last week as we thought about the name overseer. An overseer refers to the function of the elder. He oversees the church. It's the same office as elder, but it's what the elder does. And again, throughout the New Testament, we see that this is the task of the elders, the pastors, the shepherds, to have oversight. Look at 1 Timothy 3 and verse 5, verse 4 and 5. Paul says that this man is to manage his own household, and he's to do it well because he's going to be managing or caring are ruling, having oversight over the church of God. This is what the elders are to do. Look at chapter 5, verse 17. "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor." The elders, the pastors, they have oversight in the church. They are here to protect the sheep. And this oversight and this protection is worked out in a variety of ways. It's seen firstly in admitting people into membership. This is part of the protection and the oversight of the church. The shepherds are to examine to see who are Christ's sheep. And they're not to admit into membership those who do not belong to Jesus Christ. So there's admitting people into membership. There's taking care of counting the sheep in the sheepfold. There's that oversight or protection. The second way that it's worked out is in the exercise of church discipline. the shepherds, the pastors, the elders, they are to spot the signs of straying, spotting the signs of public sin. And they're to call back those who are straying. They're to call them back into the sheepfold. Or at times, they are to administer discipline to those who are unwilling to repent. So the exercise of church discipline is part of this noble task. And that's protecting the sheep. That's caring for the sheep and the whole sheepfold. The third way that this protection or oversight is worked out is giving protection from the wolves. Giving protection from the wolves. Going back to Acts chapter 20, this is part of the command that Paul gives to the elders in Ephesus. He says, "Be on your guard. Stay alert, stay awake, because there are wolves who might come in and disrupt or destroy or harm the sheep." And so the elders, they are to spot what could come in amongst the people to destroy. The elders are to be on their guard. They're to be vigilant. They're to take heed to themselves, pay close attention to your own spiritual life, and then take heed to the dangers that the congregation faces. Now, Paul is referring here primarily to false teaching. And that's one of the roles of the elders. They are to spot false teaching. So my fellow elders, if there's something that I say from the pulpit that is false, that is wrong, that is heresy, it's their duty to come and to say to me, to protect the sheep, to be saying, that's not right. We're to be aware of false teaching that's outside the church that can come in. And so sometimes from the pulpit, we might have to say, don't listen to that false teaching. Or this is what that place is teaching, but that's not what God's word says, so ignore it. That there's a protection element to the work of the shepherds in the congregation, the pastors. These wolves, sometimes it's not just false teaching, but it can actually be people. Those who don't seek the peace of the church. Those who don't seek the good of the sheep. And the elders are to be vigilant and watchful, protecting the sheep. This is part of the noble task. This is part of the work of under-shepherds, keeping watch, protecting, keeping an eye, being ready to act when danger comes. Being ready to discipline, being ready to rebuke, to correct those who stray. The elders have been given for the well-being, for the peace, and for the protection of the church. And so they have a responsibility to do that. Jesus Christ has entrusted his sheep to the under-shepherds. Elders are to protect the sheep under Jesus Christ. The elders are there to set a pattern, to be an example of Christ-likeness. They are there for protection, to protect the church, to protect the sheep. And then the third word I want us to think about is provision. Provision. The elders are to provide for the congregation. This noble task is a task of providing. That is, they are to feed and they are to equip the sheep. The main teaching responsibility is generally, in most of our churches, for one of the elders. Look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Paul here is saying that all the elders pastor, all the elders shepherd, all are overseers, all are ministers, but there are those who labor in the preaching and teaching. Much of the teaching that is done is through the preaching of God's word. But this still comes under the oversight of the elders. They have a responsibility to make sure that it is truth that's being taught. All elders must also have the ability to instruct from God's word. Not necessarily preaching, because as Paul says, there are those who are especially gifted for that and labor in that. But an elder should be a man who's able to open up God's word and explain what it means. They should be able to open up God's word and direct someone to Jesus Christ. They should be able to say, here is a verse that has helped me. Here is a verse that I've grown from. Or here is what God says about this issue. There is to be the feeding of Christ's people, the sheep. And the elders are responsible for providing that food, for providing that nourishing food, responsible for bringing the sheep to still waters, refreshing waters, to green pastures, nourishing pastures. The elders are responsible to make sure that the sheep are receiving nourishing, rich food. Provide. Provide the food. Provide the nourishing. Provide the refreshing. As we consider men for the eldership, we must ask, is this someone who can give spiritual counsel? Do they show themselves to be a man who has grasped the word of God and can set the truth before people? Do they faithfully interpret the word of God? Are they feeding and equipping the saints for ministry? Do they make provision for the sheep? Here's the task of the under-shepherd, the task of the pastors, the ministers, the elders. And it's a praiseworthy task. It's a pleasant task. It's not always an easy task. It's a challenging task. It's a difficult task. It can be an upsetting task. It can at times be a discouraging task. But it's a praiseworthy task. It's a good task. Do the elders provide? Is this a man who will be able to help provide for the sheep? I want to briefly highlight some further work of the elder before finishing with some questions this morning. Much of what we've been considering applies to the congregation. But the work of an elder is wider than the congregation. We are Presbyterian. We believe that Scripture sets out the church as a Presbyterian church. And so the elders will be involved in the wider work of the church. They'll be involved in the presbytery and in the synod. And our elders have the task of being elders, shepherds, pastors in presbytery. They exercise oversight over the congregations in the presbytery. And they do the same at a synodical level, at the level of our synod. It's expected of our elders that they will be committed to the wider work of the church. just as the elders did back in Acts chapter 16, where they came together to discuss and pray, and through God's word reach a decision for the whole church, so our elders are expected to discuss and pray with the wider church at Presbytery and at Synod. And our elders do that. Many of them are on various committees within our Synod. They exercise oversight. They give spiritual input into many aspects of the wider church. This is part of the noble task. It maybe doesn't always seem noble. I see one or two smirks from some of our elders who serve on various committees. It maybe doesn't always seem noble, but it is. It's a work for the Church of Jesus Christ. It's caring for His sheep. It's loving His sheep. It's serving the church. And our elders are to be serving in this way. A beautiful task, a praiseworthy task. Choosing elders is one of, if not the most important decision that a congregation can make. It's the elders who shape the congregation. So I have a few questions as we finish this morning. Some questions that we can all ask ourselves, and some questions specifically for the men and young men within the congregation. So here are some of the questions that we can all ask ourselves. Do we grasp the work, the task that an elder is to do? Do we understand that here is a pastor, a minister, a shepherd, all elders? Do we see that they are to be patterning their lives on Jesus Christ? And they're to be setting the pattern before us. Do we understand that they are there to protect and to provide for the church? And are we helping them to do that? Are we encouraging them in this task? Do you pray for them in this task? Second set of questions that we can ask ourselves is, are we each seeking to pattern ourselves on Jesus Christ as the elders do? As the elders set the pattern and we are to follow, are we following? Are we striving to follow their example? Where is our Christ-likeness? We should all be doing that. It's a praiseworthy thing to be serving Christ in this way. There's a noble task that we can all be involved in some shape or form within whatever church or congregation we're from. Are we following and setting the example and the pattern of Jesus Christ before others? We're all to do that. Then a question for the men of the congregation. Have you ever desired this noble task? If there's no desire in you for this task, is it because of a lack of spiritual interest? Is it because of a lack of spiritual complacency in your life? You see, we are all to love Christ's church. We are all to serve Christ's church. We're all to be committed to Christ's church. And if you have no desire whatsoever for any of that, to see the growth of His church, the protection of His sheep, then possibly that's a sign of, at worst, spiritual deadness in your life. Are slightly less worse, but still very serious, spiritual complacency in your life. And so you must ask yourself, where do I stand before the chief shepherd? Am I one of his sheep? The one who laid down his life for his sheep? The one who gave himself for the sheep? Am I one of his? I believe that all Christians should aspire to these things. Obviously, the office of elder is restricted. And so especially all young men, all men should aspire to love Christ's church in this way. But again, not all will be called to the office. But we're still to have a heart's desire for these things. A desire to see the church growing in this way. Is there that longing to serve Jesus Christ? To set the example, the pattern of Christ before others, and to seek the provision and the protection of the sheep. The eldership is not to be entered into lightly. We don't do it for gain. We don't do it for the title. The eldership isn't easy. As a session, and I know this sermon, along with the next sermon, will be a challenge. I can assure you that the session in this congregation are well aware of our weaknesses, our failings in fulfilling this task as we should. We are not perfect men, far from it. We have our shortcomings. But I do firmly believe that the desire is there. And I also want to say to you as a congregation, you have good elders. You have good men in the eldership. But be praying. Here's the challenge. Be praying that God will be creating this desire within our congregation. This desire to follow Christ and set the pattern of Christ before others. Be praying that this desire will be welling up within us to be feeding and caring and providing and protecting for all of us, ministering to one another, watching out for one another. Be praying that God will raise up men to take on this task. Pray at home in family worship. Come to our prayer meeting before worship services. Come to the midweek prayer meeting. Let us give ourselves to be praying for this. This is one of, if not the most important thing that a congregation can do. Choosing men to be elders. So be praying. Be asking that God will be raising up men for this task. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Amen.